Last week we started talking on some interesting subjects, and God's really got me meditating right now on my identity and who I am. And you know, I've heard a lot of identity teaching over the last 18 or so years, and you know, I've heard a bunch of identity teaching, and none of it really registered with me the way things are registering to me now. And God is really starting to put on my heart who I am. And it doesn't mean who I am specifically, but who we are, who mankind is. And something that's happened in the church is that we've lost our identity. We've lost who we are. We don't know who we are. And there's something that's come into play that has stolen our identity from us. So last week we started looking at Romans 12:1 and the scripture about how do we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And contrary to a lot of teaching we've heard, you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, by believing in the gospel. When you believe in the gospel, you have presented yourself a living sacrifice, because when you believe in the gospel, you've joined yourself to the death that Christ died and the resurrection that happened to him. You've joined yourself to him. So when Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live," he was proclaiming, "I am a living sacrifice." That's what he was proclaiming. And one of the awesome things that happened by us being joined to Christ, and I think sometimes we don't spend enough time meditating on what that means, but what it means is we died to the wisdom of the world. We died to this world. And when I say the wisdom of the world, what I mean is our identity was in Adam before Jesus came. And we died to that identity on the cross. We're no more identifying with Adam. We are no longer condemned to an identity of Adam and the wisdom of the world. And the thing that's happened in the church is that we are still teaching a gospel that makes all of our identities connected to Adam. And back in the Garden of Eden, however many thousands of years ago you want to say that it is, it's right around 6,000 years. This is the 7,000th year since Adam and Eve. But the greatest identity theft in the history of mankind happened, and it didn't just happen to man. Satan stole God's identity, and he stole our identity. And what he did was he got Adam to identify with his own ability to do good and not do bad. He got Adam to define himself by what he could do and not do. He got Adam to define himself by what he accomplished with his own ability, and he got Adam to define himself by what he had and did not have through his own ability. And through the course of that, Adam's identity was stolen, because Adam's identity was in God. And prior to him being tricked, his identity was found with God. He identified with God. And something God's been showing me is that there's a lot of my identity that I still draw from the wisdom of the world. There's a lot of my identity that I've allowed to be connected still to Adam. And I think most of us in the church are. And that's one of the reasons why we don't see Christ being of full effect in our lives. And last week we talked about what God's perfect will is for our lives. If any of you guys are like me and you've grown up in the church, it's like this never-ending story of trying to figure out the one specific thing that God has for you to do while you're here. Okay, but that's not God's perfect will for your life. And we've gotten it all screwed up. God's perfect will for our life is that the life that he possesses would manifest in our lives on this earth. That's God's perfect will for our life. His perfect will is that Christ would become a full effect in our lives. That's his perfect will for us. It isn't that I would grow up and start this church. That was not God's perfect will for my life. Praise God. But do you know, out of understanding and realizing God's perfect will for my life, I have started this church. We have started this church. But it wasn't God's perfect will for my life. I could have gone and done something else, and his perfect will for my life still could have still come to pass. And the problem with thinking that there's one specific thing God's called you to do, if you don't do that thing, now you define yourself as a failure for the rest of your life. You see, and if you define yourself by what you do, you are identifying with Adam and not with Christ. If you define yourself by what you do, then you are finding your identity in your works and not in Christ. You see, and when Christ came, he ended that. He ended the man that would find their identity in this world. And you see, the problem is the church has still, by and large, got this concept of finding who we are and what we do. You know, and I was a member of a lot of good churches, and I would sit in these churches, and they would always talk about finding your ministry. Find what your ministry is and go do that thing. You know, find what God has for you to do. You know, God has for you to enjoy who he is. That's what God has for you to do. And you know, in the process of enjoying who God really is, you get filled up with his life and you start seeing who you really are. And then you know what? Something will happen out of that. But it's not something that you think about or plan or try to make happen. But something will happen out of that. So guys, if you've been living under the bondage of thinking that God's perfect will for your life is tied into what you do or don't do for him, that's a lie. That is a lie. That is bondage. It will keep you in chains for the rest of your life. Your identity is not in what you do for God. And, you know, the gospel is God's testimony of that. The gospel is his testimony of our identity. You know, and I used to think, and I'm starting to see how beautiful Christ is. And, you know, I've always thought Christ was beautiful, but just on the way to church today, I was just thinking, man, how beautiful are you? How can this be that you are this beautiful? That everything has gone through him. Do you know, Christ is not just the testimony of who God is. He's the testimony of who you are. Some of you are trying to reject that. It's a fact. Christ is not just the testimony of who God is. He's the testimony of who you are. You see, Christ is your identity and who you should be identifying with. And the more I get a revelation of this, the more free I become and the more I experience the love of God that he's already poured out on me because I'm starting to become clear. You know, it's like you're wearing glasses and they're all fogged up and you can't really see. You can't really see yourself in the mirror. It's blurry. You don't know what you're looking at. But then the glasses become clear and you can see who you really are. And this is what we're going to spend the next few weeks talking about because God's got me meditating on this. So if you weren't here last week, get the CD in the back. It'll help you put the pieces together from the first sermon. And if we run out, let me know or let somebody know and we'll take your name and make copies for you. But we're going to pick this up where we left off in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And what we talked about last week is, be not conformed to this world is not talking about don't sin. That's a lie. And the reason why we haven't moved on to who we really are in Christ is because we're all still so focused on our sin. And we're all still so sin conscious. You know, you can't see who you really are if you're focused on yourself because your identity is not in who you are. It's in who he is. You can't see yourself. So when Paul says, be not conformed to this world, what he's saying is, be not conformed to the wisdom of this world. He's saying, do not find your identity in Adam. Find your identity in Christ. That's what he's saying. And, you know, the Bible says there was only two Adams. You know, Adam was the first, and Jesus is the last Adam, which means what they did was all-encompassing for all of us. And so until Christ came, our identity was in Adam. Since Christ has come, our identity is in Christ. So when he says, be not conformed to this world, he says, do not conform yourself to the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world says you are defined by your ability and what you do good or bad with that ability. The wisdom of the world says you are defined by what happens to you and what you have. That's what the wisdom of the world says. The wisdom of the world is any external system of laws or ordinances that you use to gain wisdom, to gain holiness, to gain righteousness, or to gain acceptance from God. It's anything external or in this world that you use to define yourself. Okay? Just to be clear, guys, going to college and getting a degree, that doesn't mean you're operating in the wisdom of the world. Okay? Lots of times in the church, we think if we do anything in the world, that's the wisdom of the world. That's not true, okay? You can be successful, you can go to college, you can have a job, and not be operating in the wisdom of the world, okay? The difference is, are you defining yourself by what you do? That's the difference from being in the wisdom of the world and not being in the wisdom of the world. Do I define myself by what I've done? Okay, so nobody leave today and say, Pastor Greg said to quit my job, cancel my plans for school, don't do anything, just sit at home. That's not what I said. What I'm saying to you is do not find your identity in the wisdom of this world. And do you know why? Because if you find your identity in the wisdom of this world, God's perfect will for your life can never come to pass. Christ will be of no effect in your life if you find your identity in the wisdom of the world. And you know, Paul, we talked about this last week, but Paul told the Galatians that Christ had become of no effect to them because they were mixing the wisdom of the world with the wisdom of God. They were mixing the law and they were mixing grace. And you know, really God's been showing me that defining yourself by what you do, by what you have or don't have, or defining yourself by something that has happened to you in this world is an extension of the law. Because that's what the law does. The law tries to define you by what you have. You know, the Jewish people defined themselves by whether or not they were rich or poor, by whether or not they were sick or well. They defined themselves by whether or not they followed the commandments. And that's finding your identity in Adam. That's the system that Adam chose. Adam chose a system of finding his identity in what he does. So what we have in this verse, and I'm assuming everybody wants God's perfect will to come to pass in their life. I mean, I'm assuming that's what everybody wants. But recognize his perfect will is that Christ would be of full effect in your life. That's his perfect will for you, okay? It's not that you would go do something for him. It's that Christ would be of full effect in your life. That's his perfect will for your life. So in this verse, we have God telling us what will prevent his perfect will from coming to pass in our life, but also what will cause it to come to pass. So this is a powerful verse when you start getting into it. The word conformed means to conform oneself, one's mind and character to another's pattern. Fashion oneself according to. So what Paul is saying is, do not fashion yourself according to Adam. Do not fashion yourself according to what you can do for God and not do for God. Do not reason about yourself from the place that Adam reasoned about himself. Adam reasoned from a place of finding his identity in his own ability. So Paul says, do not fashion yourself according to the wisdom of the world that defines you by what you do or don't do, or that tells you who you are by what you have or don't have, or tells you who you are because of what has happened to you. You know, lots of people have really bad things happen in their lives. And I think most people that live in this imperfect world have had bad things happen in their lives. The question is, are you going to allow that thing to define you? Are you going to allow Christ to define you? And you see, the wisdom of the world, Satan wants to come in and he wants us to define ourselves by the wisdom of the world and not the wisdom of God. And that's when the power of Christ in our lives can be stripped away. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that we can be transformed. And that word for transformed is metamorpho. And it's where we get our word metamorphosis. And it just means that something changes, is what it's talking about. So we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And what are we renewing our mind from? We're renewing our mind from finding our identity in the wisdom of the world. That's what we have to renew our minds from. We have to renew our minds from finding our identity in our ability, by finding our identity in what we do or don't do, by finding our identity in what we accomplish, by finding our identity in what has happened to us. That's called renewing your mind. You know, we're renewing our mind to who we really are. We're not renewing our mind to stop sinning, Okay? And the reason why the church has been stagnant for 2,000 years is because we think we have to renew our minds from whether or not we're sinning or not sinning. That very concept proves that we're identifying with Adam. We're renewing our mind from who we are, who we used to be, to who we are now. You know, and in the church, whenever we start talking about who we really are, and I'm going to probably challenge some of you guys' theology today with some of the things that I say about who we really are. But the problem in the church is that we've been so scared to say who we really are. You know, the Bible says that man is the glory of God. You know, the Bible says that mankind is the glory of God. Do you know who else was the glory of God? Jesus Christ. You know, it's so often that we think that Jesus was just coming here to show us how great God was and how pathetic we were compared to him. But Jesus came down here to show us how glorious we were to him. That was one of the things he came down here to show us. Praise God. And so, guys, we're not renewing our mind from thinking that sin is good. Is there anybody here that thinks sin is good? It's like we think we have to have this conversation and make sure everybody understands that sin is not good for them. Does everybody understand that? Can we move on from that now? Is that what we can move on from? Because that's not renewing your mind, guys. And, you know, recently, this was really coming up in my life, and the Olympics are on right now, so it's really been registering in my life. But I used to train for the Olympics when I lived in Colorado, and I was really into long-distance running. And something that the Lord's been showing me is that I was defining myself by what I did for him. And I had this concept in my head that my ministry was going to start through me going to the Olympics and winning the Olympics. Okay? And what I didn't realize is that I was defining myself by the wisdom of the world. Because I was defining myself by what I did or didn't do. You know, how many of you know that after I started getting hurt and injured all the time and I couldn't run, I was a distraught, broken man? You know why I was distraught and broken? Because I didn't think God's perfect will for my life could come to pass anymore. Because I was identifying with myself and not with God. And it's a trap that we've all fallen into, guys. And if you don't think you've fallen into it, then you ought to be walking around raising people from the dead left and right. You ought to be going up to the hospital and just putting your hand on it and commanding people to come out alive. Because that's Christ having full effect in your life. And Satan has done everything he can to pervert our identity. Because he knows the second we realize who we really are, the church is just going to break loose in the earth. That's what's going to happen in the earth when we realize who we really are. So if he can keep us from renewing our minds to who we really are, then God's perfect will for our life will never come to pass. God's perfect will for our life, which is Christ being a full effect, will never come to pass in our lives if we don't renew our minds to who we really are. So guys, when you leave here today, understand that you're not trying to renew your mind from sinning or not sinning. You're trying to renew your mind from identifying with Adam and renew it to identifying with Christ. That's what you want to do. You know, and just to use an example, my dad is an engineer, okay? But his identity is not in that he's an engineer. His identity is in Christ. You see, the wisdom of the world tells my dad that he's an engineer. You see, but God's wisdom says that his identity is in Christ. God says you are not defined by what you do. You are defined by me. The definition of who you are is who I am. That's who God says. That's what God says to all of us. And so the world tries to give us this concept about who we are. And I used to say it when I was running. People ask me, what do you do? And I'd say, I'm a runner. And probably all of you have thought that about yourself. You know, when I wasn't married and I was feeling lonely and I had been separated. My girlfriend and I had broken up, and I guess I'd gone 4 or 5 years swearing off women because I felt like God told me to do that. Nothing against you ladies. It was something wrong with me. That's why he told me to do that, okay? But during that whole time, I was trying to, the world was trying to define me as a single person, as a person who would be alone. You will be alone your whole life. You see, that's an example of what the world will try to tell you. The world will try to define you by what has happened to you or what you have in your life. That's the wisdom of the world, guys. That's finding your value in the law. It's finding your value in what you do or don't do. And so I hope you guys can receive this But this is the thing we're trying to remove from our lives, this definition that we've taken onto ourselves, which is the definition of who Adam is. Because that's not who you are. You are Christ-like. You are the God kind. Praise God. The wisdom of God says, believe in me, and I will be born in you. I will be your wisdom. I will be your holiness. I will be your life. I will be your righteousness. The more you define yourself by God's wisdom, the more his life can manifest in your life. That's what he's trying to get us to do, guys. He's trying to get us to define ourselves by his wisdom about us. That's what he wants us all to do. And that's renewing your mind. He's not trying to get us to do a bunch of things for him. He's trying to get us to renew our mind about who we really are. That's what he wants us to do. And when you do that, you prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your life. That's what he wants you to do. It's not a hard thing that he's trying to get us to do. And so we just want to look at what the wisdom of God is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? How did God make the wisdom of this world foolish? Remember, the wisdom of the world says to draw your conclusions about who you are from what you do good and don't do bad. The wisdom of the world says to draw your conclusions about yourself from what you have and don't have. It says to draw your conclusions about yourself from what has happened to you. That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of the world says that people who are rich and people who are perfectly healthy, they're God's favored. That's the wisdom of the world. The wisdom of God came down and he hung on the cross. Okay? And he made the wisdom of the world foolish because he said that your identity is not in yourself. You are not defined by what you do or don't do in this world. And so when Jesus came down and hung on the cross and demonstrated himself as the wisdom of God, he made foolish the wisdom of the world. That's what he did. He said this concept that you find your identity in this world is foolishness. That's what he said. You know, God, before God created any of us, he determined that our value to him was inherent. Before you were even born, he determined that your value was inherent to you. He determined that your value would always be in him and not in what you do or don't do for him. He determined that your value would always be found in him, completely separate from anything you could do or not do in this world. Completely separate from what you have or don't have. Completely separate from anything that has happened to you. That's what he said when he sent Jesus here to die on the cross. He made foolish the wisdom of the world. And he says, where is the scribe? Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this world? And he says they've all been removed. He says they've been removed because God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. He's taken it away. What he said is, guys, the place that I reason from about who you are is Christ. And he said, the place that I want you to reason from about who you are is Christ. He wants you to determine who you are through who Christ is. Okay? He wants you to take the characteristics that Christ has, and translate those into your own characteristics. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to identify with Christ and not this world. So, just to help bring what this is home, you know, the NFL football season is starting up, and lots of people here are Saints fans. And if you're not a Saints fan, you can be a fan of another team, and this analogy will still work for you. But I'm a Saints fan, and so I identify with the Saints, okay? I define my success in the NFL season by the success of the Saints, not by myself. Okay, so when the Saints win a game, I identify with that and I become happy. Okay, I haven't done anything. I haven't worn a uniform. I'm not wearing pads. I did not make the big play. But if they made the big play, I jump up and scream because I identify with them. If the Saints win the division, I identify with that. If the Saints are the division champion, I'm the division champion. If the Saints win the NFC, I won the NFC. If the Saints won the Super Bowl, I won the Super Bowl, right? See, now you guys are excited about this. Maybe we'll preach about the Saints every Sunday. But you know, when the Saints won the Super Bowl, how many of you found yourself saying, we won the Super Bowl? Do you see? And it's an example of how you identified with something that was not yourself. You see, and this is what God wants us to do with Christ. This is what God has said about Christ. He wants us to identify with Christ and define ourselves by Christ. He wants us to find our life in Christ. I think it's Colossians that says that your life is hid in Christ. Your life is not hid in this world, guys. Your life is not hid in what you do in this world. Your life is not hid in following the law and the commandments. Your life is not hid in what you have or do not have. And if you connect your life to that, you're defining yourself by the wisdom of the world. And that will always lead to discouragement. And not only will it lead to discouragement, but you'll be separated from who you really are. Because your life is not in this world. And that's one of the biggest pressures that comes against us in this society, is we're told to identify with things. You see, the world tells you to find something to identify with. Right? And I just used an analogy with the saints, and we identify with the saints. So it's a natural thing for us to do. You know, God has made us naturally to identify with something. He has made us naturally that way. All he's saying now is, hey guys, identify with me. Find who you are in me. Let the place where you reason from about who you are be the place where Christ is. Let the place where you reason from about yourself be the place that Christ is. That's what he's saying to you. That's what he's saying to all of us. Amen. But how many of us, when we think about Jesus, say, we died on the cross. We were crucified. How many of us say, we were raised from the dead? How many of us say, we can bring people back from the dead? How many of us say, we can heal the sick? How many of us say, we can have all things that pertain to life and godliness? See, we don't identify with Christ, guys, and it's the only thing in this world that we should identify with. And because of that, we're letting our identity be formed by Adam. How many of you today would testify to the fact that you want to find your identity in Adam? Do you know, the year the Saints won the Super Bowl, if I had found my identity in Atlanta, how would I feel? I wouldn't feel like the Super Bowl champion, would I? No. And so, guys, we have this, we have Adam and we have Christ. And who are we going to identify with? And everything in this world is trying to get us to identify with Adam. Everything. How many degrees you have. Everything that I've been talking about, and I keep saying it over and over on purpose so you can see the depth that this goes into your life. This is trying to define who you are. And there's nothing wrong with having a job and being successful and going to school, but don't find your identity in that. Because if you do, you are stripping your real identity. You're identifying with Adam. That's the identity that Adam chose. That's not for us, guys. We've died to that identity. That's what we want to meditate on, and that's what we want to be aware of. That we're transformed by changing our opinions and judgments about who God is and who we are. That's how we're transformed. If you want to have this metamorphosis in your life where Christ becomes a full effect in your life, you change your opinions and judgments about who God is and about who you are. That's how you have this transformation. And the funny thing is, I don't normally plan what I'm going to say, but when I started looking back at the sermons 5 or 6 weeks ago when I first came back from the conferences, God had me talk about who he really was. And now he's got me talking about who we really are. And I never put that together, but it's because we can't find our identity if we don't know who he really is, because our identity comes from him. We can't find out who we really are if we don't know who we really are. And so being transformed occurs when you renew your mind about who God is. You change your opinions and judgments about who you are and who God is from what this world says, from what everything in this world says about it, and you change it from the wisdom of the world to the wisdom of God, which is Christ. And so when you think about yourself, or you reason about yourself, you want to do it from Christ and not this world. I hope everybody's hearing what that means. I hope this is making sense to everybody. That's the place you want to reason from in this world. If you conform to Adam, you're going to have Adam's life manifesting, which was a life of toiling, always toiling. God told him, because you chose this system, you will toil for every good thing you will ever have, for you will find your identity and be defined by this world. Renewing means renovating, guys. So we're trying to renovate our minds from fashioning ourselves after the things of this world to fashioning ourselves after Christ. And it doesn't come from doing. It comes from identifying. It comes from believing. You fashion yourself after Christ by believing that He is the place that you reason from about yourself. That's how you fashion yourself after Christ. When I was 18 or 19 years old, we were moving into a house on Religious Street, and it's funny, isn't it? It was on a street called Religious Street down in New Orleans around the Warehouse District, and I think it's by Ascension Street actually. And the house was a wreck because it was built in the 1800s. It was a disaster, and so me and my whole family got together and we had to go renovate that house. Okay, we had to renovate the inside of it so that the glory that was in it could be seen. Okay, and do you know that house? This wasn't just from our renovation because we're not professionals, but later on, the people who owned that house, they put the finishing touches on that renovation, and that house won awards in the magazines, you know, Homes and Gardens, some magazine like that, wanted to come in and take pictures of the house. And they said, look how glorious this house is. You see, so we renovated that house, and its original glory came out. You see, when you renew your mind, you're renovating your mind to believe that you're not defined by this world. Your identity is not in this world. You're renovating your mind to believe that your identity is in Christ. And when you renovate your mind to believe that you're defined by who Christ is, that glory will come out of you. Because that is the glory that is in you. You know, I worked at a performance job where I had commissions, and I used to find myself getting stressed out because I wanted to get my commissions. You know, when you have a bonus, you want to get the bonus. And I was already a performance guy. You know, if I didn't get the bonus, I thought I was a failure. Right? I was defining myself by this world. You know, something God told me is, you don't have to stress out. You don't have to define yourself by your performance. And you know, the first thing I thought was, well, then how will it get done? How will it happen if I don't do it? How will it happen if I don't stress out about it? And do you know what? He didn't give me the answer. He just said, my grace is sufficient. And he said, start telling yourself that. And through the course, every time I got stressed out, I would start telling myself, thank you, Jesus, that your grace is sufficient. And do you know, I met all my quotas and bonuses, and I didn't even have to try to. It just happened. I didn't have to have the stress. Because once I identified with Him and not my own works, His glory came out of me. You have to be in a certain place to be able to receive that. But guys, recognize that God has made foolish the wisdom of the world by showing us Christ. That's how He's made the wisdom of the world foolish. And we could cover all these, and I think I will just open this and read one of these verses. If you guys go back and study 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it is an awesome, awesome chapter that says a lot of things that, you know, you read it and you pass over it. But after verse 20 and verse 25, he says, or verse 26, he says, For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. You know, Jesus is not saying that not many people like that will be saved. What he's saying is the wisdom that said those people are the good people, the preferable people, that wisdom is foolishness. That's what he's saying. He's saying the wisdom that defines people by what they have or what they do or what they accomplish, that wisdom is foolishness. That's what he's saying to everybody. And in verse 30, he really puts the finishing touches on it. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Okay? Christ is where you reason from concerning yourself. He is the place that you determine your opinions and judgments about yourself. Christ is the logic about who you are. Christ is the place that you reason from about yourself. If you want to know who you are, think about who Christ is. If you want to know what characteristics are in your life, think about the characteristics that are in Christ. But of God, Christ has become unto us the wisdom about who we are. Of God, Christ has become unto us the wisdom about who we are, guys. Christ is the wisdom of who you are. That is the wisdom of God about who you are, Christ Jesus. Some of you are thinking, man, that sounds blasphemous, Greg. That sounds blasphemous. Well, if you want to stone me after, that's fine, because you know what? The glory that's around me from realizing that Christ has become the wisdom of God about who I am will form a force field around me, and me and God will have a party with ourselves. The scripture says it right there. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has been come unto you your wisdom about who you are. Who of God has become unto you the wisdom about your righteousness. Of God he's become unto you your sanctification and your redemption. I hope you guys can receive this. You know, if we reason, if the place that we reason from about ourselves is our sin and our failures and our success and the bad things that have happened to us, do you know we're conforming to the wisdom of the world and we're identifying with Adam and not with Christ? Do you know if you believe Christ is glorious but you're not glorious, you're not identifying with Christ. If you think Christ is the glory of God but you don't think you're the glory of God, you're not identifying with Christ. You're identifying with what you do. What's the thing that would make you think that you can't possibly be the glory of God? Are you not looking at your own works? Right away, you're exposing that you're finding your identity in what you do. The reason why I'm the glory of God is not because of what I do or because of what I have or because of what I'll do for God or because I pray all day or because I read the Bible. The reason why I'm the glory of God is because my identity is in Christ. That's the reason why I'm the glory of God. That's the reason why you are the glory of God. And you know what's happened is we've got a veil over our face and we can't see our identity because we define ourselves by the things in this world. We define ourselves by whether or not we're a good mother. I'm a mother. I'm a father. We define ourselves by those things. We define ourselves by how much money we bring home. It seems innocent enough, guys, but when you define yourself by that, you are identifying with Adam, and what you are doing is you are keeping Christ from being full effect in your life. Do I believe God will make me prosperous? Absolutely. Do I believe God is going to bless me mightily and abundantly? Absolutely. Do I believe that Christ has done everything on the cross for me to have a full life on this earth? Absolutely, but I will not define myself by the timetable of when that happens or when I see it. Because if I do, I am making Christ of no effect in my life. You know, Paul said that he had gotten to this place where he was content. He said that he found that he would be content when he had much and when he had nothing. And do you know the revelation that Paul had more than anything else, really? You know, I used to think that Paul just had this awesome revelation of the grace of God. But you know, the gospel of grace is only so good as you allow it to remove your identity from this world. You see, what happened with Paul is he allowed the message of grace to remove his identity from this world. And that's why he could be happy when he was hanging in a prison getting beaten to death. That's why Paul could sing while he was getting beat. And he was laying there in sloppy mud and feces and rats. He wasn't praising God through grit teeth, guys. He wasn't like, bless you, Lord. The reason why Paul could sing like that is because Paul said, my identity is not in me being in this prison. My identity is in Christ. My life, my joy is not wrapped up in whether or not I'm in jail or not. My life and my joy is wrapped up and hid in Christ. That's why he could hang there like that. And do you know, when he sang praises like that, do you know what happened? Christ became a full effect in his life, and the earth shook, and the jail popped open. And do you know, he was so full of his identity in Christ that he said, well, I can't go because these guys over here might get killed because we escaped. Guys, that's when you're identifying with Christ and not this world. That's where we're all going. That's where we're all going. That's where I'm going. And you know what's happened is I used to think that the grace message was just a new doctrine, and it was the correct doctrine because I was still living in this right or wrong world. Okay? I said, well, this doctrine is wrong. This doctrine is right. You know, it's true that the gospel of grace is the true gospel. But the reason why you hear the gospel of grace is not to say I'm right and you're wrong. The reason why you preach the gospel of grace is not to say I'm right and you're wrong. It's so that your identity will be stripped from this world and will be grounded in who Christ is. That's the reason why you preach the gospel of grace. It's not to say I'm better than you. And so much of the grace, the grace preaching that's coming on is getting into this. Getting into this, well, I'm better than you because I'm preaching grace. Or you're wrong and I'm right. Forget that nonsense. Wrong or right is the wisdom of this world. That's the wisdom of this world. The gospel of grace is trying to do one thing, guys. It's trying to separate your persuasion about yourself from your works. That's the thing it's trying to do. It's trying to separate what you believe about yourself from what has happened to you. It's trying to separate what you believe about yourself from what you do in this world. That's what the gospel of grace is trying to do. And the whole reason why it's trying to do that is so you can identify with Christ instead of this world. That's the whole reason for the preaching of the gospel of grace. Because if you identify with your own works, you'll never be able to identify with Christ. You'll always be clouded. You'll always have your glasses fogged up. And you'll never see the glory that's in you. You'll never see how glorious you are. You know, you can't see the glory in you, really, if you're finding your identity in this world. You know, guys that amass $1 billion, when you poll people that are billionaires and you ask them when they're considered that they're wealthy, do you know that none of them consider that they're wealthy? Because they're defining themselves by this world, and it's never ending. I need more. You know, they'll tell themselves, I'll be wealthy when I get $1 billion. But then they get $1 billion and they say, oh, well, I'll be wealthy if I get $5 billion because of inflation. You know, inflation, and so I'll be wealthy if I have $5 billion. I'm wealthy because my life is hid in Christ. I'm prosperous because my life is hid in Christ, not because of what I have right now. Amen. Guys, the place where we reason from about ourself has got to be Christ and Him crucified, not this world. We've got to identify ourselves with Christ and Him crucified, which means as righteous as He is, so am I. As holy as He is, so am I. As glorious as He is, so am I. That's the place where we reason from about ourselves, guys. The thing that's keeping that from happening is we are identifying with the wisdom of this world and we are defining ourselves by something bad we've done. You know, if you've done some horrible thing, God is telling you right now that's not who you are. If you've committed some horrible sin, God is telling you right now that is not who you are. If you think you failed in this life, God is telling you that's not who you are. If you think that you're a failure because you don't have what you want to have, God is saying that's not who you are. God told you who you are when Jesus came down to this earth. He said, this is who you are. That's what He said. That's what He was doing with us. Some of you guys are going to be shocked when we connect all this. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So open face means unveiled face, okay? We all, with unveiled face. Just now, the preaching that I do every Sunday, when I preach the gospel of grace, I'm trying to unveil your face, okay? I'm trying to unveil your heart so that you can see. What are we trying to be unveiled from? We're trying to be unveiled from the law. We're trying to be unveiled from the wisdom of this world. We're trying to be unveiled from things that define us in this world, contrary to who Christ is. That's what we're trying to be unveiled from. Okay? And if you read this chapter prior to verse 18, he says that the Jewish people, even to this day, when they read the Old Testament, there's a veil over their face. There's a veil because they can't identify with who Christ is. They identify with what they do. And he says there's a veil there because of it. If you form your opinions and judgments about yourself from the law and the wisdom of this world, your heart will be blinded to the glory that is in you. That's what he's saying here. He's saying now that Christ has come, now that Christ has shown us that he is the wisdom of God about who we are, now that he has showed us that, our faces have become unveiled. We have become unveiled to the lie that who we are is of this world. We have become unveiled. Our heart has been cleared to see that who we are is not what we do or don't do. Who we are is not what we have or don't have. Who we are is not what has happened to us, but who we are is actually Christ. That's what becoming unveiled is. We all with an unveiled face, praise God, unveiled face. You know, when somebody gets amnesia, they give them pictures of themselves and things that they're doing to try to jog their memory about who they are. And they hope that by seeing themselves doing things that they had done in the past, that they would remember who they are. Do you know, we are like the person with amnesia, and God is trying to jog our memories about who we are by showing us Christ. He's trying to jog our memories about our identity by sending Jesus here. He wants us all to wake up and realize who we really are, guys. I don't have amnesia anymore. You know, I'm starting to see who I am. I'm starting to see who I am. And you know what? Who I am is who Christ is. Because that's God's wisdom about me. You know, if you want to say, well, Pastor Greg, that sounds pretty arrogant. You know, arrogance is taking an opinion that contradicts God's opinion. If God's opinion about me is that I am like Christ, then that's being humble if I take the same opinion. If you want to be the prideful one and disagree with God, go ahead. Be my guest. I'm just agreeing with what God says about me. Christ is the wisdom of God about who I am. And I'm just agreeing with that. Praise God. And if you want Christ to be a full effect in your life, you want to agree with that. You want to agree with that. And then the glory of God can just come flying out of you. Praise God. Unveiling your face means that you no longer form your opinions and judgments about yourself from anything in this world. That's unveiling your face, guys. Take off the veil so that you can see who you really are. You can't see who you really are if you form your opinions and judgments about yourself from the things in this world. Who I am is not the pastor of this church. Okay? That's what I'm doing because I've realized who I am in Christ. Your value is not determined by whether or not you go get in the ministry. Your value is inherent, guys. Your value is inherent. Do you know, look what he says here. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Beholding as in a mirror. He says we're beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. When? When we unveil our faces. When we unveil our hearts from the law and the wisdom of the world, then we will behold the glory of the Lord where? In him? In us. In a mirror. Guys, we will look in a mirror and we will behold the glory of the Lord that is in us when we stop identifying with Adam, when we stop finding who we are with the wisdom of this world, when we stop defining ourselves by the things in this world. Then we can behold the glory that is in us as in a mirror. Guys, you know, back in those days when Paul wrote that, they didn't really have glass mirrors. They had like metal mirrors. And so, do you know, if you reflected yourself out of that at a certain time during the day, you would see sunshine all around yourself, and it would look like you had the divine glory shining around you. And I think it's interesting that he uses this analogy, because what he's trying to say to you is, guys, Unveil your face to behold the glory of the Lord that is in you. That's what he's saying. The glory of the Lord is in you. And when you do that, you're changed into the same image that Jesus was changed into. When we identify with Christ instead of Adam, our hearts are unveiled to the truth about who we are. And then you know what happens? God's perfect will for your life will come to pass because Christ will be a full effect in your life. Christ will be a full effect in your life when you unveil yourself from the wisdom of this world. When you say, I will no longer define myself by what I do or don't do. I will no longer define myself by what I have or don't have. I will no longer define myself by what has happened to me, for Christ is the definition of who I am. That's what Paul did. You know, people wonder, why was Paul so joyful and blessed? That's why. He removed the veil. He said, you know what? I'm not living like this anymore. My life is hid in Christ. It's not hid in what I do in this world. That's what happened. Something interesting in this verse is the word changed is metamorpho. The same word for transformed that we found in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And something really interesting about this verb, metamorpho, is that it's only used four times in the whole Bible. In the whole Bible, that word, metamorpho, is only used four times. Once in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Once in this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And it's used twice in the gospel accounts. And the interesting thing about when it's used in the gospel accounts is the place that it's used. And I believe the Holy Spirit has only used this word four times for a reason, so that we could see what this verse is actually talking about. And I think he's trying to get us to see who we really are. But the two times that it's used in the gospel accounts, it's used on the Mount of Transfiguration is when it's used. And I'll just read one of them from Matthew. And this is Matthew chapter 17. And it says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. His face did shine as the sun. He was transfigured before them. Do you know when they saw Jesus become transfigured? Do you know it would have been the same thing as if they were looking in a mirror? Because that's what they saw. They saw Jesus become transfigured right in front of them. That word metamorpho that's used in Matthew chapter 17 is the same word that Paul says will be metamorphosis, will be changed into the same image of Christ. What image of Christ? The image of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. When his divine splendor and glory was shining out of him when he stood on that mountain and they stood there and looked at him in his face. That's the metamorphosis that will happen to us. That's the glory we'll be changed to when we unveil our faces from the wisdom of this world. When we stop defining ourselves by what we've done in this world. That's the glory that will shine out of us. You know, I used to think that that was just a picture of our glorified bodies when Christ comes back. You know, but Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead yet, so it can't be a picture of our glorified bodies. He was still alive. He was still a human being on this earth. So it can't be that he was showing us our glorified bodies. Do you know what Christ was doing? Christ was showing us who we are. And not just Christ walking on this earth. He was showing us who we really are. He said, hold on, guys, let me show you who you really are in me. And then the light shone out of him. That's the metamorphosis, guy. The Mount of Transfiguration is not to show us the divine glory and splendor that was just in Jesus. It was to show us the divine splendor and glory that is in us. And Peter and James and John, they beheld that glory as in a mirror because they looked at him and saw that glory reflecting back on them. That's the same thing that Paul is saying will happen to us when we stop defining ourselves by the law and the commandments. When we stop defining ourselves by the things in this world. You know, if you think you've done something bad, that's not who you are. Don't define yourself by that. Define yourself by who Christ is. And when you do that, if you think Jesus was glorious standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's the same glory that God has given you. That's the same glory that is in you. That's what that is a picture of. He's trying to show us who we are because we have amnesia and we've identified with Adam. And he said, look, guys, do you see this glory in me? That's the same thing that's in you. Identify with me. This is who mankind is. We've got this perverted concept that mankind is a worm and that we're worthless and that God had to come down and save us all. You know, God did had to come down and save us all. But you know, God determined our value before he saved us all. Otherwise, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. You guys ever make that connection? So Jesus is God's wisdom about our value and worth to him, okay? Jesus is God's wisdom about our value and worth to God, okay? And when did he come? When we were holy? When we were ungodly sinners, he came. Jesus was God's wisdom about our value and worth before, guys, we ever received him. Before we were born. Guys, you know, the Bible says that you can't receive these things through your intellect. You have to receive these things through the Holy Spirit, you know. And there was a time where I wouldn't have been able to believe what I just told you. There was a time where I wouldn't have been able to believe it. And do you know why? It's because my face was veiled with my own works. I was defining myself by what I did in this world. I was defining myself by my sin, and I was full of a sin consciousness. And my mind has not been renewed. No, my mind has been renewed to what God says about me. And do you know what's happened? I've been transformed. I've been transformed. And do you know what? That means God's perfect will for my life, that the fullness of Christ would manifest in my life, is coming to pass. Because I've been transformed by who he says I am. I've scrapped the wisdom of this world. You know, the wisdom of this world says I'm a failure. The wisdom of this world says you failed, Greg. You never made it to the Olympics. The wisdom of this world says you never could do it. Look at you. You couldn't do it. You know, and if I define myself by that wisdom for the rest of my life, do you know Christ will never be a full effect in my life? The devil wants you to think that you're a failure. He wants you to reason about yourself from a place of failure. That's what he wants you to think. He wants you to say, I'm a failure, because you're identifying with Adam and not with Christ. Glory to God. Guys, man, the Bible is not just given to show us who God is. Hallelujah. You know, you can never see who you are till you see who God is. The Bible has also been given to show us who we are. And when Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was the ultimate picture of who you are. It was the ultimate picture of the divine splendor that is in you. So, if you want to reason about yourself, if you want to draw conclusions about yourself and who you are and what you can do and what is in you, go read about the Mount of Transfiguration. Go read about Christ and say, as Christ is, so am I. Because Christ has been made the wisdom of God about me and about who I am. I hope that's not too wordy for you guys. Christ is the wisdom of God about who you are. God's wisdom says that. God's opinion about you is Christ. He wants to burn that image in our hearts, guys. And man, the amnesia analogy is good because most of us are walking around with amnesia. Because we have a veil over our faces. And we say, well, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I haven't done this. We wake up and say, well, I failed God like this, I failed God like that, I failed God like that. Then we start running down all the people we failed. Then we start running down all the things we never did in our life. You know, we even have movies called The Bucket List, so we can hurry up and go do the things we never did. Because let's define ourselves by what we do or don't do in this world. And we're identifying with Adam. And then we can only experience the life that Adam has. Your life is not hid in this world, guys. It's not hid in some bucket list. Your life is hid in Christ. That's the wisdom of God about your life. That's the definition of God about who you are. Christ. Christ. You know, it goes so much deeper than that, guys, but the wisdom of God about who you are is Christ and him crucified, because he had to be crucified to remove the veil from us. He had to be crucified to remove the false identity from us. His work is so in-depth and so perfect that we can't even comprehend it. We can't even comprehend it. But you know what? I praise God that we're on the earth right now, because God keeps showing me that, you know, he showed me this before we came to Louisiana, that the floodgates has flown open and the revelation about who he really was and who we really are was being poured out into the earth. And we're going to see a big movement of people starting to remove the veil and not just realize I'm not under the law and the commandments, which that's a great revelation to come to, guys. But understand that that revelation is only there so that you will no longer identify with the things in this world and that you will find your identity in Christ. You know, and I got a friend who likes to talk about the creative power that God has put in our hands. You know, if any of you doubt that God's put creative power in our hands, look at the world 2,000 years ago in comparison to now. You think we haven't created things? Do you know how we're able to create things and invent things? God is in us. Because we are the glory of God. And if you want to say, well, Greg, where is that in the scripture? I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7, says that man is the glory of God. That man is the image of God. You know, in Hebrews chapter, 11? Chapter 12, I'm going to read these real quick, and then I'll let you guys go. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, oh, that's the wrong one. Maybe I won't read this for you. Oh, I'm thinking about a different verse altogether. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God is speaking to you about who you are through Christ and him crucified. Okay? Christ was not speaking to the Hebrews at that time because Christ was already dead. So he's not just saying that in these last days, God is speaking to us through what his Son said. He's saying that God is speaking to us through what his Son did on the cross. He made the wisdom of the world foolishness. He made what the wisdom says about you foolishness. He did that not to snub his nose at the world, but so that you could have the veil removed from your heart and see who you really were. Praise God, you know, you can be filled with joy and peace when you realize who you really are. That the place where I reason from about myself is Christ. Catch yourself, guys. The next time you start drawing conclusions or thinking things about yourself, stop and say, you know what? Christ has become unto me my righteousness. If you think you're doing something wrong, if you feel like you failed, stop yourself this time and you say, you know what? Christ has become my holiness. Christ has become the wisdom about who I am, not what I do. And then you know what will happen? You'll get to praising God because you'll just be in such awe that you've been removed and stripped from your works. You've been stripped from the Adamic identity that we've all had. That's been stripped from us, guys. And it's not that you're not who you are anymore. I'm still Greg. When I identify with the saints, I'm still Greg. Okay? I don't become Drew Brees. I don't become Jonathan Vilma. I'm still Greg. So when you identify with Christ, you're still who you are, but you're just saying his characteristics are my characteristics. His traits are my traits. I have been fashioned in the likeness of Christ, not Adam. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the gospel of grace. Lord, we just thank you for this gospel of grace, and not just for this gospel of grace that frees us up from being sin conscious, Lord, but that this gospel of grace is showing us who we really are. That this gospel of grace, that the full maturity of this gospel being preached is that we come to a revelation of who we are. Thank you, Father, that we can pronounce boldly that we are the sons and daughters of God, that we are the glory of who you are. Thank you, Father, that you have determined our value and worth in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the place that you're taking us, that the revelation of what our value and worth is. Lord, and I just release this revelation into the hearts of everybody here, that the veil would be removed from their hearts, that they would no longer define themselves from the wisdom of this world, but they would define themselves by who Christ is. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.